welcome back to the show, State Senator Tony Wong. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. It's always great to be on with you.
It's always my pleasure. Hey, are you a betting man?
I am not. I love sports. I love competition. But I also know that I just have the highest level of competition. And I know that I value my money. That's why I'm the Republican that values saving people's hard-earned money, keep it in your pocket, not pay out in taxes, nor paying out in betting losses.
All right, but would you say you would place a casual wager now and then?
Look, I'm playing a golf match. I play $2 for a front nine. Yeah, I do wager in a competitive kind of sporting competition, but the problem is we're now into really just kind of full scale, in your face, everywhere. I think the biggest point is, in 2018, the U.S. Supreme Court made the decision that legalized sports and internet gambling. And in 2021, after many years of my objecting to it, because I understand the addictive nature and the power of sports in our society, and also the ubiquitous of having a smartphone that delivers every bit of game into the privacy and solitude of people's, everyday living, I saw the potential explosion of gambling addiction. And unfortunately, the Pandora's box has been opened, Gary.
Yeah.
When you talk about gambling of using the internet, can you imagine for those people that love to play Candy Crush to now put a dollar denomination on it? They'd be on it all day, but they would spend hundreds of dollars losing or winning and then get that thrill. It's all about the adrenaline and the thrill, and that's where addiction comes in. Many people can just have an easy game of gambling and say, hallelujah, I won a couple dollars, I lost a couple dollars. But nevertheless, with addiction as an illness, you tap into that kind of inner core of adrenaline and that emotion that you don't get it anywhere else. That's when you get addiction. And we have a stunning rise in that. Even for people that make millions of dollars, it affects all backgrounds, all communities, and all socioeconomics.
Once you get
that adrenaline of, I'm a winner, it never stops.
Yeah, I'm not a big gambler neither. I lose more than I win. There was a time when I was on a little bit of a roll, but I mean, that's an anomaly. You lose more. They're not building these Taj Mahal casinos because, people are winning more. It's because people are losing more and the house is winning more. But you heard about what's going on in sports, particularly the NBA. You got the sports gambling is in the national spotlight right now. There's a coach that's arrested, a top player that's arrested. I'm sure you've heard of all this.
Gary, it just strikes at the core. We're sports fans. This country is sports mad. Unfortunately, it's not a lot to cheer for in New York lately. The Yankees haven't won in 16 years. The Jets barely won, and the Giants lost probably their most animated player. But I regress. The problem is, when we debated the issue after the legalization of the Supreme Court, we had the NBA, we had the Major League Baseball, we had the NFL. They all sent their top-level people and their player association to talk to us about the gambling. And they said, hey, we want to maintain the integrity. We need to get 30 cents on the dollar to maintain the integrity. But nevertheless, when we legalized it and the Supreme Court legalized it, it was a Pandora's box that opened where now every single league, along with their television and media outlets, now parlay, and they're institutional partners. And it creates a kind of normalcy that, not only are you watching the game, hitting balls and strikes, or catching touchdowns, or making baskets, you're now playing in-game bets, whether someone's going to make a strike or hit
a
ball,
right.
Put it in play. It's not even about the winning or losing anymore.
Correct.
It's about whether someone is going to hit catch 20 yards on one play. What that does is called a psychological term of in-game betting. That has been the most insidious, addictive nature, because the response and the winning and losing is so instantaneous that you can double down and make another bet. And it really is a psychological addictive measure that has really generated a lot of profits for our vendors. And the reality is, when you look at gambling, the house never, ever loses. And we're unique in Connecticut, Gary, because we got the two tribes. And because of the compact that was agreed to by Governor Weicker back then, the tribes get a percentage of every gambling game that exists in Connecticut. And those two, the FanDuels and the online sports gambling teams, they actually have to work with the tribes and pay a percentage to them. They own a monopoly. The two tribes own the monopoly on internet and sports gambling in the state of Connecticut, unlike any other state. A lot of people don't know that.
No, but you hit on something that is so significant that I don't think a lot of people are even aware of. They just think of it when they see the DraftKings and the FanDuel, they see, well, I'm going to bet on the game, right? What's the over-under on the football game? You got the World Series that we're in the midst of. You know, well, let's see who wins. It's not even so much of who's going to win the World Series, but there's up to seven games. Who's going to win each game? But you're so right, because there's the game inside the game. I bet this person's going to strike out, you know, or I bet this guy's going to fumble the ball. It's the betting within the game, not just on the outcome of the game. I think you're right, man. I think people are more susceptible on young. I think the younger they are. I think young adults are more susceptible. I don't know if I'm right or wrong here, but if I were to guess,
Gary, internet gambling addiction is the fastest growing addiction among American children, high schoolers, and college students, because of that real-time in-game gambling and the access to cell phones and computers, in which it was a generation that grew up with that attached to them. But now, Gary, it's instantaneous. It's anywhere. You could sit in your room, and then we had COVID that kind of impacted the solitude and the isolation that occurred. It really was the perfect storm when we open up the Pandora's box, and it's full of unintended dangerous consequences in my mind.
All right, so before I take a break here, what are we going to do about it? I mean, we've got this problem gambling council in Connecticut. I remember that. But can they solve all of our problems? What do we do about
the Connecticut
prevention?
Council in problem gambling is a very important institution in this state that supports those struggling with addiction, has a hotline, but it also raises awareness and education in our schools, and they do an incredible job. But Gary, even when we had the debate in 21, I said, if the state of Connecticut is making money out of creating more access to gambling addiction, then we need to put more money into supporting those that get impacted when the gains of the state occur. And what's ironic is that the Problem Gambling Council, who counsels against addiction and gambling awareness, nearly 70%, it might have changed, of its funding comes from the very casinos that they are trying to raise awareness about. It's sort of like, you know, it's counterproductive. So, yes, we need to support that important organization. And don't get me wrong, our two casinos are really important economic factors in the state of Connecticut. They are good business partners in the state of Connecticut. They're great employers. They provide great economic initiatives. But we have to have a balancing act that now, with the federal law, United States Supreme Court, and the state law now in 21, we now need to ask them to step up and help us raise awareness and prevent and support those people with addiction problems. It is an illness. So everybody needs to step up on this, and we really do have a problem. And it can affect anyone. When you're looking at NBA players, Gary, that are making millions of dollars, Mr. Rozier, I believe,
yeah,
has like
that didn't make any sense.
$80 million
right.
contract, right? But because these are elite athletes, they compete and they have that adrenaline need. They want to compete at every level. But the problem is, it's dangerous, it's addictive, and it's harmful.
Well, you got a guy that's making $20 million a year, and he just ruined his career for $200,000.